morning. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see all the visitors that are here this morning, too. I don't remember what y'all's... I know one of you's Nick, but what's your brother's name? James. James and Nick. And anyway, it's good to have y'all here this morning. And what's your friend's name, Dave?
Justin.
It's good to have you here, too, Justin. And yeah, so thank y'all for coming, and I hope you feel free to worship with us. It's kind of a, I don't know, I feel a little, preaching this morning feels a little different with what all was shared this morning so far, and it's just, I didn't realize it was quite that bad at the hospital here. We're kind of insulated from that because we don't really have it, or at least in our immediate family here, I guess even in the church here some, but I guess it's really going around again, but... And we do. It's a good reminder to pray. We do serve a God that can heal and that knows what's going on. And yeah, he is in control. But yeah, I think we need to be vigilant and diligent in praying and also praying for revival, like was already mentioned. But thank you for that. Thanks everybody for what you do. And it's a good opportunity, I think, for us as a church to reach out, like has already been said. If there's a way that we can do that, but anyway, what I've chosen to share about this morning is from Numbers chapter 22. It's the story of Balaam, and it's always kind of been a little bit of a hard story to understand. You know, you have this prophet who speaks the word of the Lord. And he seems like a good person, but then you get to the New Testament and it talks about the wickedness that he committed. But I think as we look through this, I hadn't ever really looked into it real in depthly, but I think as we look at this story, we can learn a lot from this prophet. So let's read from Numbers chapter 22 and. I'm having a little bit of a hard time here. So I've been trying to work on my speaking. I know I say quite a bit. So if you notice pauses and things, I'm trying not to say So anyway, I feel a little funny, but anyway, let's read from Numbers chapter 22, and I'm going to read the New King James Version, and y'all can follow along in whatever version you have. Numbers chapter 22, verse 1, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. I'll start over again in verse 1. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the sides of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites and Moabites. And Moab was exceeding afraid of the people because there were many. And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field. And to Balaam and Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, 'Look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once. Curse these people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom thou bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed.' So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with diviners' fees in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke to him the word of Balak. And he said to them, 'Lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me.' So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, 'Who are these men with you?' So Balaam said to God, 'Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me, saying, "Look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, you shall go with them. You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Then Balak again sent princes, more numerous and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse these people for me. Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak was to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, please, you also stay here tonight so that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, that shall you do. So Balaam rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn him back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in the narrow path between the vineyard with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, I wish there was a sword in my hand, for now I will kill you. So the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now and let her live. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now, when Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab, which is on the border of Arnon, the boundary of the territory. Then Balak said to Balaam, did I not earnestly send to you, calling for you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you? And Balaam said to Balak, look, I have come to you now. Have I any power? Look, I have come to you. Now, have I any power at all to say anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that must I speak. So Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kirjath-Huzzath. Then Balak offered oxen and sheep, and he sent some to Balaam and to the princes who were with him. I'm going to stop there. The story goes on in the next couple of chapters, but that's all I'm going to read. So we see that, this story is interesting. You have a prophet, I think it calls him a soothsayer in the King James at a different spot, somebody who tells the future. But we have this prophet who hears from the Lord. I mean, God speaks to him almost like he speaks to Moses, but he definitely spoke to him. I mean, he heard from the Lord, and the Lord gave him a message. And we think of this, I mean, most times people that hear from the Lord are godly people. They they hear what the Lord says, and they're prophets. They tell people what God has, the message that God has given them. But anyway, we see in the New Testament. I'll just read a couple of these verses that talk about Balaam in the New Testament. And this is in 2 Peter 2:15, and it says, "They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet." And, you know, he got so angry at his donkey that he actually talked. I think he was talking to the donkey for a little bit before he realized that the donkey was actually talking to him. And that's kind of an interesting part of the story, too. But anyway, and the donkey actually saved his life. And that's the part about Balaam that we always hear about, how he beat his donkey. And it makes a good Sunday school story. And it is. It's a good story. And I think we can learn from it. But the rest of the story we don't hear so much about. In Jude, it says, I'm just going to read Jude verse 11. "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah." He lumps Balaam in with Cain and Korah, and talks and gives that as a warning for us. But so Balaam, I'll say this too. Somebody else in the Old Testament that I've kind of struggled with is Lot. So we think of Lot, you don't always think of Lot as a real great guy, but then we get to the New Testament and the Bible talks about righteous Lot. It talks about in 2 Peter, you know, when we think of Lot, you think of his wife, she got turned into salt. You also think of Lot that he moved to the land of, he lived in Sodom, a wicked city, and also Lot chose the best land and gave the second best to Abraham. So those are the things that you kind of think of in the life of Lot, but it's not always, sometimes the stories that we get in the Old Testament don't always, I think they do reveal people's character, but they don't, sometimes it's a little hard to determine what God actually thinks of those people. And then we read in 2 Peter about Lot, and it talks about, I'll just read verse 7 there, 2 Peter 2, verse 7. And he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And so we know that Lot was righteous, and we know that Balaam was not righteous. And looking at this story of Balaam, I think we can learn a lot. If we just look at some of the things that he said when Balak sent his princes to him, I think it reveals a lot of some of the things that weren't said even. God told Balaam in verse 12, he said, "Do not go with them, do not curse them, they are already blessed." He told them that regarding the Israelites. If you look at verse 12, that's what God told him to say. Balaam, right after that, says, he goes back to them, and he says in verse 13, "And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you." He didn't say exactly what God told him to say. He just said, "Go back to your land, because God won't let me go with you." It was almost like a little boy that says, "My dad won't let me do it. Like, I'd really like to, but I can't because I'm not allowed to." I think that put yourself in Balaam's situation for a little bit. So, if you had some dignitaries from the White House come and knock on your door and ask you to do something, and they said, "We're gonna make you a rich man. We'll give you all these kinds of things." Now, that puts, you know, we sometimes think of Balaam as a, I don't know if we quite think of it in those terms, but I mean, this was a big deal for Balaam. This was a king, a wealthy king, and apparently had things. I mean, obviously had riches that he could give to him. He sent his dignitaries to him, the princes, I think it says, and he offered him riches. And anyway, Balaam, I think Balaam really wanted to go, but he didn't. He did, and to his credit, he said partly what the Lord told him to say. So anyway, the dignitaries go back to Balak, and they tell Balak what Balaam has said. And I really believe what Balak thought that Balaam was saying. I'm going to get confused here with Balak and Balaam, but anyway, I really believe that what Balak thought Balaam was saying is that I think he thought he was holding out for more money, and that's what Balak did. He sent more people. That was in verse 15. And Balak sent yet again princes and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me." So he sent him more. He sent more honorable princes and more money. It sounds like. And he says, "I will promote you to very great honor." In verse 17. And so what does Balaam do? Does Balaam say, "Well, I already talked to the Lord, and I can't go with you, and we can't bless these people"? No, Balaam didn't say that. Balaam said, he said, "Well, let me ask God again." And that's in verse 19. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. So he goes back to God, and he asks God again. And we know what God wanted. God had already spoken. I don't know why he needed to go back to the Lord again, but he did. And the Lord told him he can go. And so he did. And we know what happened with the donkey. And so it seems like God was a little bit unfair to him here, because he told him he could go, but then the angel stood in the way. But he said see if I can find it here. It says the Lord's anger in verse 22. The Lord's anger was kindled against him, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Anyway, and then if we go on down, we see where his donkey says, "It says your way is perverse before me." In verse 32, he said, "I withstood these three times because your way is perverse before me." And the donkey saved his life. But in the end, we know that Balaam was given permission to go after all. And I think something that we can learn from this is that when God tells us something, or we have something in God's Word, to be obedient. I think we often know what we should do in certain situations, especially if it's in God's Word. But we'd like to ask, and we'd like to know if there's a way around it, or if there's some way that we can do that. And there's things these temptations that come to us, whether it's money or whether it's something else. I think something that we can learn here is, don't stay in that state. Learn to quickly be obedient, and not to stay in the path of temptation, but to obey God quickly and completely. Don't just tell the half truth. Don't try to get around things. But anyway, so at a point, God told him to go ahead and go, and he did. And I think the other thing that we can learn here is that God will at times give us over and allow us to do the things that we're asking for, even though it's not in our best interest, and even though it's not in God's will. And it's interesting how God continues to talk to Balaam. And if you go into the next chapters, you'll see that God continued to talk to Balaam. And we can look at this thing of, and it talks about it in the New Testament as well. There's different verses. I'm just going to read one verse. At a point, God gives people over to their desires, to the things that they want to do, and I think their conscience quits bothering them, and we read of our conscience being seared with a hot iron and things like that. But in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11, it says, "And for this reason God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe in the lie, and they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." So at a point when we enjoy unrighteousness or the things that God's told us we can't have, God will send a delusion, and it can happen. We can just become completely deceived, and I think that's something else that we have to be careful for. And we have to remember that as we look at this story, Balaam liked the honor, and he liked the prestige, and he liked the idea of having these things and the money. It talks in those verses that I read about Balaam in the New Testament. Both of them talked about Balaam being greedy or desiring the wages of unrighteousness. It also talks about Balaam in, I already read that one, actually. It also talks about Balaam, but I was thinking about it. Rodney read from Revelation, and it talks about Balaam in Revelation, in the church of the letter to the church at Pergamum. In Revelation 2, verse 14, he told that church, "But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality." So if we read on in Numbers, we also see that, I'll just turn there. There's one verse, it's chapter 25. It talks about Israel, and it says, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel." And it doesn't say specifically there that's what happened, that Balaam taught the Moabites to do this, but it does talk about how Israel did go and marry their women and also started worshiping their gods. And I think that goes along with what was said in what Jesus told the church at Pergamum. He said that you hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. I don't know of anywhere that we actually have that written down in the Old Testament, but it does say that in the New Testament, and we see that. So it's on further? Oh, I have it written down. I have it underlined here. Go ahead.
Because they went and fought that battle against Moab in chapter 31.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that plague and all those living false gods, and it talked about how Balaam got killed in 31:8, he was in Moab.
Right. Yeah. It says in chapter 31, verse 16, "Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord." Anyway, that's right. So it does talk about it there in the Old Testament. Yeah, and it worked. I mean, to an extent, they still got mostly annihilated, but it wasn't good for the Israelites for sure. So Balaam, in his wickedness, did that. He a man that heard from God, a man that seemed to be in tune with God, ended up giving counsel to the enemies of God's people through the love of money. And we see that the love of money and the worship of God don't mix. God asks for our complete devotion. The Bible says in Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." We can try, but we can't do it. We have to be loyal to Jesus. And we see that Balaam was swayed by money in his love, and he wanted attention, and he liked the attention that was given to him by these dignitaries, and I think that's a warning for us to be obedient to God the first time, not to keep asking, to be completely obedient, not to tell half truths of the things that God tells us, and also not to love money more than we love God, and as when we worship God, to worship Him completely. And Balaam did end up dying. We read in Joshua how Balaam was killed with it's Joshua 13:22, but it says that Balaam died by the sword during a battle for the Reubenites' occupation of the land of Moab. But anyway, and then we also see that it's interesting if you read this whole story in chapters 23 and 24, you'll see that Balak really tried to get Balaam to curse God's people, and he didn't do it. And he actually, the curse that Balak wanted him to pronounce on the Israelites was actually a blessing. Balaam actually pronounced a blessing on God's people, and he was obedient to that point, where at least in those chapters, that what God told him to do, he actually said and blessed them. But that's quite a bit of reading in there, but it is interesting how that worked in that story. So anyway, I think we can learn from this, and I hope that it was it can edify us, and it can help us to follow Jesus better. And that is all I have. Are you going to close the service, Jamin?